Established in 2003, we launched in June 2003, following a group of us getting together and deciding that something had to be done, because I had been writing to people in detention centres, and I got into a mailing system, an emailing system, and somebody asked if somebody could come to stay in Sydney, because he had to come from Perth, and he was on a habeas corpus order. He wasn't allowed to work, he didn't get Centrelink, he didn't get any money, no Medicare, no health care, anything. And I said, yes, he could stay with me, so he came to stay. But every day of the week, including Saturday and Sunday, he had to report at Parramatta, and he had no money. So I was giving him money, but he had to come over here because his lawyer was here, and he had to see his lawyer. So,
and sorry, where are you?
I was in Glebe at the time, and he had to go to Parramatta, so I provided money for his fares and made sure that he ate properly, and he was a Muslim, so I made sure that he had halal food. So I had already decided that I should start a foundation or do something to raise money somehow.
So you were doing all these services and helping people just out of your own goodwill?
Yes, I was retired and I was on superannuation, so I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I then talked to my local Member of Parliament, who was Tanya Plibersek, and I said, what can I do, because I'm worried about what can be done. And she said, well, she agreed that I needed to set up some sort of a foundation. So she said also that I needed to have tax deductibility. Well, she suggested I contact Sister Susan Conley, who was also involved with Timor and refugees. And so then with my friends and the one or two other people and a lawyer, we set up a foundation to give money to people who were on no income at all. And so that we provided a limited income for them, enough for them to try and live. And most of them had been released from Villawood, and some were coming by plane. But whatever happened, when they went to apply for asylum, if they were out in the community and they applied for asylum, the Department of Immigration would say, go and see the Asylum Seeker Centre. So they'd go there, and the Asylum Seeker Centre didn't have enough money to give to anybody. And so we decided we would give the Asylum Seeker Centre money and the House of Welcome, which was another organisation in Carramar, which took in people who were homeless and were asylum seekers who had no benefits of any sort, no government assistance. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we established.
And that was in 2003, you said?
2003.
Okay.
So since then we have continued. But we struggle, of course, because although we have tax deductibility through the Uniting Church, we still struggle to raise enough money to keep people going. And we can really only help about 100 people a month, and that includes children. And the people we take on board are all assessed legally.
Mm-hmm.
So the money now goes through the Asylum Seeker Centre. The House of Welcome has got it set up in such a way that it doesn't need any help from us. It's come underneath another arm, so it's perfectly all right. But the Asylum Seeker Centre provides all sorts of services, English lessons, which they don't get unless they go to English lessons there. They have English lessons. They have, when they can finally get work rights, then they have a system of helping people get jobs. They have a medical care service. They have computers. They have all sorts of services which we cannot provide. We do not have an office.
Okay, so you help basically.
We just provide money.
Yeah, okay,
to the Asylum Seeker Centre that mm-hmm. then gives it to people who we have approved, but they are approved legally first, So when people sometimes ring me and say, can I help? And I say, well, no, you need to go to the Asylum Seeker Centre because there's nothing I can do because I don't have an office.
Mm-hmm.
I work from home, and all of us on our committee all work from our own homes.
Okay. And you help people that are on bridging visa that have
bridging
been
visas.
Released yes. from detention?
No, not nowadays, because okay. most of them, when they come out of detention, are given an interim amount of money and some sort of housing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to help them. Okay. But we help, it's mainly the people who fly in nowadays,
okay.
and who by the time they come to us, they've come in on their passports and visas, and they've come for visiting or for a holiday or for something, maybe to see their children who are living here and as students. But by the time they've got here, they know they can't go back to wherever they came from because they've already been told that the people are looking for them and they're dissidents or they have a political claim or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to assess them very carefully, but we have to make sure that they don't have any money because we don't want to give people money if they have already got money. But by the time they get to us, they don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been here a while and they've used all their money on accommodation and food and all the things they needed anyway when to set up here, because they've come with nothing.
And how long are you able to assist one particular person or family?
Well, we did say recently that we couldn't keep people on our books any longer than about 6 months,
mm-hmm.
because we just don't have the money to give out more than that. You know, we provide a bit of accommodation money, you know, for supporting. So most of the people are staying in somebody's house. Sometimes they're sleeping on sofas, sometimes they're sleeping on the floor. There have been people who slept in garages. This depends on the circumstance and who they are and where they and wherever they can get somewhere to stay, because they can't afford rent. You know, rental accommodation is far beyond what an asylum seeker can provide for, because he or she doesn't have any income other than what we give them.
So getting back to how it all started for you, what do you believe, what do you think that was the core factor that made you feel like you need to do something about this and to help these people?
Well, I guess I've travelled a lot and I mean, I didn't want to see people starve or I didn't want them to go back to where they came from either, because I knew they weren't safe and that we only look after people who are not safe if they go back. So when I was visiting Villawood and saw what it was like in Villawood, and I realised that the sooner they got out of there, the better, but I could do nothing to get them out even, because we didn't have any power to do that. It was a very difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, and you continue helping those people that are in detention just out of your own goodwill?
Well, I'm going to Villawood every fortnight now. I was going every week and sometimes more often than that. Because I'm a justice of the peace, I used to be called upon to go and sign documents.
Sure.
And I'd drop everything and then go out and see them. And sometimes there'd be a phone call to say somebody's being released and they don't know where to go or who to come to, so and sometimes they could come here. Occasionally I'd get somebody to stay here or in the previous place.
What are your hopes for the future? What do you hope to achieve soon? And what are you asking the government to do in order to help these people and ease your load, for example?
Well, I would like the government to provide work rights, because the majority of these people have skills. They have skills they could use. And they don't want to be sitting around doing nothing, because they've got no money to do anything with, and they have to report to immigration every so often. And there's some of them on short-term visas, sometimes they're on longer visas,
mm.
and every case is individual, of course. And you can't say that somebody's going to be only for 3 months on a visa, and they have to get a new visa every 3 months. Sometimes it's a shorter period than that. And they need work rights. They need to get a job. They need to be self-sufficient. They don't want to depend on charity, but they can't cope without the money that we give them. It's just dreadful.
Virginia Walker, founder and chairperson of Bridge for Asylum Seekers Foundation, thank you so much for your time and for speaking to us here at SBS Kurdish.
Thank you very much indeed.
لگل SBS رادیو بشی کردین.